Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Yes, everybody, everything is going to be all right because we have a huge population and growing population in the United States and all over the world that are determined to make the world a better place. Yes, everybody, and today we have a great guest lined up for you. Her name is Cynthia Greer, and looks like the music might be playing over my voice, so I'm going to make it a bit lower so that you guys can hear me better. There we go. Okay, so after being sick for a very long time, Cynthia was finally diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer that hits the lower part of your face. I think that's what it is, but I'll have her explain it to you. Today she's here to tell us what happened to her, how she survived it, and is still alive to tell the tale. And we are so lucky to have Cynthia here on so many levels. First of all, her story is inspirational, it's amazing, and everyone can learn from her. From her will to survive and from her journey. And second, her willingness to tell the story is another level of selflessness that we are so lucky to have. So let's welcome Cynthia to Tippy Talk. Welcome, Cynthia, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tippy. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful that not only have you survived it and you are able to live a pretty normal life, but I'm also really grateful that you made the decision to talk about it and to really talk about things that might be painful and very personal, and it must be very difficult to do. So before we start, let's talk about what really happened to you. I know at first you were sick for a very long time. And then what happened?
Well, my energy was being lost at a very rapid rate. It was getting to the point where I was tired when I woke up in the morning, and I was tired when I went to bed at night. And during the day, I couldn't get anything accomplished. And I knew at that point, there was something that was deeply wrong on a physical level. Also, I began to get flu symptoms, sinus infections, nausea, vomiting, having trouble keeping down food, as well as muscle spasms in my face. So I knew that I needed to get some help very quickly.
So for a long time you were sick, and then finally you were getting spasms, and you said, wait a minute, something is wrong here. I'm not taking no for an answer. I want to know what it is. And you went to find out, you went on a journey to find out what is going on. What did you find out?
Nothing. I was told that I was just run down and very overtired, and that I needed to take it easy. And then...
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It was, you're perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just a standard
Amazing.
Sinus infection. It's just the flu. You'll get over it. But the problem was I kept relapsing. And every
mm-hmm.
time I relapsed, I got worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So how did they finally figure out what it was and begin to really work at it? What was that turning point?
The turning mm-hmm. point was the morning I woke up with a bump on the right side of my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a horrible canker sore. It was extremely painful. And I went to the doctor, and they said it will go away. There's not going to be a problem. It's an airborne virus. And it will go away in several months. And it did not go away. And at that point, another bump had developed on the right side of my neck. And so I knew whatever the problem was, there was a lymph node involved, and at that point, I really did suspect that I had cancer. I felt it.
So you felt it, and you're the one basically that almost self-diagnosed. What, when the doctor told you that it'll go away, go, you know, come back in a few months, don't worry about it, how did you feel?
At that point, I wanted to trust the doctor. I wanted to believe that I would be all right. I had that hope that perhaps it would. But within a few days, something deep inside of me told me that that wasn't going to happen.
It makes sense that you want to believe it.
Yes.
It makes sense that we want to deny it. It makes sense. I think that unconsciously, of course, you already knew it, but you weren't ready to face it. That makes so much sense. But
exactly.
Ultimately, you say, okay, you know what? I can feel it in my gut. Something is terribly wrong here. Then what happened? Once they discovered what it was, they did a biopsy, and they found out that it was cancer. What kind of cancer is that? Because it's not a common cancer. There's a weird name that they gave it that I can't even pronounce. And it's
something very rare, isn't it? It is very common. It is common? It's a common cancer. It is something that is usually found in people that smoke cigarettes or do a lot of drinking. It can also be associated with the human papilloma virus as well. But for me, it wasn't common because I wasn't a high risk case. I was a non-drinker, a non-smoker, and then later when they got into my case to prepare me for the cancer surgery, I did not have the HPV virus, but I did live in a cancer cluster. But squamous cell carcinoma is actually a common form of cancer that comes in the head and neck.
Mhm.
Wow.
Yes.
So it's common for people who smoke and drink, but it is uncommon for people who do not smoke and drink, and you did not smoke or drink.
That's correct. That is correct.
So do they have any idea
what
caused it?
Well, I did live in a cancer cluster, and my area was tested. In fact, every other family in my neighborhood had a family member with cancer. And even the animals in my area were dying from cancer. So
there
was something that was very common in my area. Most of the people were getting thyroid cancer, but there were also cases of brain tumors as well.
Wow.
But it was hitting people in the head and neck.
So that was the diagnosis. What did they do in order to help you with that?
Well, they spent 1 month preparing for the surgery. This was something that had to be very carefully planned out. I had to spend every day at the hospital taking a series of blood tests. I had to have MRIs and exams. And I was at the hospital from very early in the morning until late in the afternoon in preparation for the major surgery. And
wow.
So it was just a lot of blood tests and a lot of physicals.
And then the surgery that they did, was that to remove the cancer?
Yes. The surgery was 10 and a half hours long. They placed me in a medically induced coma in order to do the surgery. And they had to do a neck dissection. So they had to open me up from the lower part of my right ear all the way down to the center of my neck. They had to take out the cancer and an entire chain of lymph nodes. And they also removed half of my tongue as well.
Wow. And that was also because you had a bump on your tongue, so they wanted to remove the bump on your tongue.
Yes,
so they basically removed half of your face.
No, not half of my face. They took from my neck, they took quite a bit of tissue because they took the lymph nodes that were connected to the cancer, because I had one lymph node that was infected. And then, to be on the safe side, they took the surrounding tissue from that chain of lymph nodes that they had removed. To be on the safe
they took
side.
More.
Mm-hmm.
So The medically induced coma, why was that necessary?
Because I had to be on life support. I couldn't go under the anesthesia with a breathing tube because that of the type of surgery I was having, where they were going to dissect my neck, I had to be given a tracheotomy. So I had to be on life support.
Oh, so they had to
make an incision so that they would be on life support. Right, mm-hmm. So that a tube could be inserted into me so that I would be able to breathe. Because they could not put the breathing tube down my throat because of the nature of the surgery.
Wow. So after 10 hours of that, which I guess they had to do to save your life, then what? Then how did you come out of it?
Well, I came out of it in intensive care about a day and a half later. And I was hooked up to several IVs as well as a breathing machine because I could not breathe on my own. I could not swallow my own saliva, and so I had to have suction when that gathered inside of my mouth, or that would cause
me. Oh, I see. They had to remove it.
Problem.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do a lot of movement because my head was so swollen, because I had brains that ran all the way around my head and on the back of my neck to drain the blood. And so
standing was
not going to happen because I would fall over. So I had
to...
I was in intensive care for 1 week before they transported me to the surgical floor. And then I stayed on the surgical floor for 1 month after that to recover.
Were you able to talk?
No, I was not. I had to use a pad and pen and write at that point because they had reconstructed the inside of my mouth after removing half of my tongue. They actually had to stretch it back, reconstruct it, cauterize the cells, and they reattached it to the gum line. So I was very swollen and very padded and really couldn't talk.
But the surgery was a success. They got all the cancer out.
Yes, the surgery was a success, and that is something I, to this day, am eternally grateful for, that I was given the opportunity to have that surgery by skilled surgeons who knew what they were doing and went into it with the intent of saving my life. I had very, very dedicated doctors. And I will always be thankful for that.
And so from there, you started your healing process?
I did. And it was a very long road to recovery because I was left very disabled and with a speech impediment as well.
Right, because your tongue, when your tongue is involved, then you...
Right, and your nerves are affected as well. I have a lot of nerve damage. So as well as losing half of my tongue, my mouth was actually at a slant. So when I did try to speak, everything came out really garbled because I couldn't hold my mouth in a normal position. Because of what was going on with my nerves, everything was going sideways.
Right.
It was very
so
difficult.
It sounds like a horror story because that in one hand, you had to have the cancer removed. In the other hand, having it removed was a terrible side effect of having a handicap and not being able to talk and not being able to move and all that stuff. But that was a necessary thing. And I want to move on a little bit further down the line because I want to hear the other side of it. I want to hear, you obviously can talk now very clearly, and you obviously had a very, very long, very, very painful journey. And I have a quick question about that. I really want to know, how were you able to handle all the challenges that came your way without going crazy or without giving up? What was it that motivated you to keep on going when things got really, really rough?
My spiritual beliefs, my belief in God, the fact that I had practiced transcendental meditation for many years. I started very, very young. I began my meditation through my knowledge of yoga. And I began to study that as a very young teenager. And I had always had experiences on a spiritual level. I had a very spiritual mother and grandparents and aunts and uncles. And I knew that whether I came out of the cancer or not, when I went into it, that I was going to be all right. And
So being optimistic is really important.
It was. And also, when I actually had the diagnosis, I was thinking to myself, if I come out of this, it will be because I have a mission, I have a destiny to help other people. And so,
what is your mission right now? Yeah. So what is your
mission right now? I work with other women who have difficulty with mobility, physical disabilities, who are coping with chronic health conditions and catastrophic illnesses. I've developed a complete body, mind, and spirit program for women who were in the same situation I was.
That's amazing. So you took yourself through this with the help of knowledge that you had before, and now that knowledge that you used to help yourself heal and get over that trauma, you put together in a concrete enough way to teach other women how to do that are going through the same kind of challenges or similar challenges.
Exactly.
So is it something that you work with people over the phone or face-to-face, or like how do you... Like if I'm interested in the program, or if I know somebody that really needs it, because I know that a lot of people need it, how do they contact you, and how do you start working with them? How is that a possibility if they live 3,000 miles away from you?
If they live 3,000 miles away, I can do it through Skype. I can do it through the telephone. I always start with a body, mind, and spirit consultation first, where I get to know the person, I begin to understand exactly what the condition is they are working with and where they are at an emotional level, because everybody handles physical changes differently. And when you are someone who has been vibrant and active and healthy, and something catastrophic happens, and you find most of your mobility is gone, and your lifestyle has changed, because so many things enter into it when you have an illness like this. It will affect every area of your life. And so there are many adjustments, not just on a physical level, but on an emotional level as well. Because
I think so. I think it's much more than just physical. One of my neighbors just went through what they called minor surgery on her foot, and she can't walk for a few weeks, and I can see she's getting depressed. All those things that you take for granted, let me run out to the store, that's not done now. Let me just run to work. She can't run to work. So that's just a minor surgery. I can't even imagine how it would be with a major condition where you're totally immobilized and you're totally dependent on other people. That ought to be very difficult. So you help people get through those times by showing them how you healed with meditation, with and you said also physically, mentally, and emotionally. How is it physical?
On a physical level, I teach women how to work within their limitations, because the denial is what really has a negative effect. A lot of people, when they have a catastrophic illness and they go through chemotherapy or radiation, they have a tendency to want to go back to doing everything exactly how they did it before. And your energy level has changed. If you have lost part of your body, there is an adjustment on a psychological level that you have to go through. And so many women end up in denial, and they say, I'm perfectly fine. I just want to get over this and get back to my life. And so what happens is they'll go on a temporary high, and when they find they can't do it, then the depression hits. And it's much harder when we go into depression to make the adjustment.
Because you cannot. Because you cannot pretend it didn't happen. You can't. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, and if somebody wants to get to know you better and to work with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Through my email.
Which is what? What's your email?
Which is Cynthia, Cynthia, Rose, Rose, of, O-F, Cairo, Cairo, @gmail.com.
I love it. @gmail.com?
@gmail.com.
So Cynthia,
Cynthia
of Cairo.
Rose of Cairo. Right. I am a belly
dancer. Cynthia Rose of Cairo.
So that's why I have that name. I created the program Dance in Celebration of Life after I had my recovery. I've been belly dancing a very long time, and so I also teach belly dancing as part of the curriculum if women are interested in that, as well as yoga.
So you can teach belly dancing over the internet?
Not
really.
It can be done over Skype, but in a case like that, I would, if I were not working in person, I would basically work on a spiritual and emotional level first, and then I would direct them in their area to teachers that could help them with the physical level. At one point, DVDs on the market, but not at this point. So I would refer
others. So now if somebody wants to get a hold of you, I am going to put your email right below here. If you're listening to this on the internet, right below in the description, I will put the email. It is Cynthia Rose of Cairo @gmail.com, right? Of Cairo.
Right.
OF cynthiagreer@gmail.com, and so you can get a hold of Cynthia, find out more about her. We're going to talk with Cynthia again in a few weeks, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about the other side of what happened, which is the medical side and the side that most people are not aware of until they get hit with the same procedures and the same kind of things. So stay tuned, Cynthia. It's been amazing talking to you. I, for one, am really glad that you decided to survive and that you decided to overcome this, because I do believe it's a decision that you make. I believe that if you would have given up, you would not have made it. You had to fight it. You had to, your spirit had to say, nope, I'm not ready yet. It's not my time to go. And there's things that I still have to accomplish. And the things that you want to accomplish that you've done is you want to really pass it forward to other people, the gift that you got from this experience. So we're coming to a closing here, and I'm going to let you say the closing words, which is what would you say to people? Do you have any words of wisdom, or do you want to tell us something really profound that you've learned from all of this?
Yes, I do. Follow your heart. Always go with your gut instinct, because it will not lead you astray. If you feel that something isn't right and you need to have an answer, don't stop until you get one. Follow your
heart.
That's
beautifully said. That's beautifully said. Follow your heart. I think with that kind of words, I have nothing to say after that. So you go right ahead. Follow your heart. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Tippi Felsenstein. I am talking today to Cynthia Greer. We wish you all a healthy, wonderful journey. Feel free to contact Cynthia. Feel free to contact me. We shall see you again. Until then, let your talent be your potion.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra. Your heart is